Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this evening's budget hearing meeting together. It is a little bit after 5:30, apologize for the delay in starting. Just would you please call the roll call?
Supervisor Neal.
Here.
Supervisor Moyer.
Here.
Supervisor Weir.
Here.
Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
And Supervisor Corr.
Here.
Five present at the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Christman. I would like for you to start us off and explain a little bit about the process for this evening's meeting so that everybody in attendance understands kind of what's ahead and what the expectations are of the board this evening.
Sure. Before I kind of dive into all of the numbers and the things that you have before you, I would like to talk about sort of the process for hearing this evening. And simply, I'm going to present some overview of the budget and the major changes that are taking place versus what we have done in the past. It's new for our department heads. It's probably new for the supervisors, I'm sure, and for the public that's here tonight that has not yet seen this type of budget document. At the end of tonight's hearing, if the board is inclined to do so, I would ask that you would authorize this budget to become the proposed budget for Derry Township for fiscal year 2020. At that point, that would authorize us to advertise it for 20 days, beginning tomorrow. Actually, beginning on Sunday, will be advertised, but it will become available on our website tomorrow. The 20th day will expire just prior to our December 3rd meeting. At that point, the budget will be in a form that it can be adopted if the board chooses to do so. We're obligated under the second class township code to adopt a budget by December 31st for the following fiscal year. So that helps.
It does. And so this evening, major feedback from the board that you required, but minor suggestions in the weeks leading up to the vote are permissible. Is that correct?
Ideally, before the budget would go out for advertisement, if we could get through any of the major changes that the board would want to see tonight, dollar values, this is a great opportunity to do so because once it goes into the proposed format, the second class township code kind of dictates that we can only move so much in the aggregate and so much per line item independent of one another once it becomes a proposed budget. So this is a good opportunity tonight for board members, if you take any time over the week last weekend to kind of digest this information, to ask those questions of us and myself. There's going to be a lot of maybe confusion at first when we start to look at how the funds are structured versus what we've done in the past. And you know, I fully anticipate we'll all be able to answer questions or at least stumble to find them. So.
And then after you're through with your presentation, it'll be our board's opportunity to ask questions of you and any of the department heads as well if we have specific questions.
Yes.
And then we'll also turn to members of the public in case they have any comments they would like to make. And we'll run that very similar to our regular meetings where we limit the comments to 3 minutes or less. And I would just ask if any member of the public has comments to make, and they have specific questions, it would probably be better to wait and email Mr. Christman or give him a telephone call just so that those can be addressed more appropriately outside of this budget hearing.
And just a couple other housekeeping issues. We were notified late this afternoon that there was an error on the township's website relative to the time of this meeting. It was advertised in January for 5:30 p.m. Apparently, it was some hour that they got out of the website for 7 p.m. I just wanted to make that clear. It's a mistake, and I'll certainly take ownership of that mistake. But I just wanted to let everyone know that it's out there. We did correct it. Linda's here. She was the only one that's really been in communication with me, so I'm happy that you made it. Outside of that, the goal will be, like I said, once we get through this tonight, hopefully have a proposed budget that we can share publicly tomorrow. So to start, before I go on to the big screen, the board and the staff are well aware that you know the budget that we looked at for many, many years has been in place probably since the early 90s. It's been a format that has been very consistent for the township. It's understandable. I think there are ways to make some improvements to it. And in my own experience in different localities, you know, I come to the conclusion that the budget format that we have in front of us tonight is a much easier way for both elected officials, the general public, and our staff to look at overall.
It's not turned on. I don't think your microphone's turned on.
Yeah, it's hard to hear.
There we go. Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
The format of the new budget will allow both the public, elected officials, our staff, to look at the overview of how funds are spent, allocated and spent within the township here. So we are a second-class township, as you are aware, so we have a lot of broad discretion in the second-class township code of how funds can be allocated through specific tax levies. So, this budget, you can read it up there, is really a continuation of the types of things that you've seen year over year. We're still providing the same level of service that our residents have come to know and expect. And, I can guarantee you that as long as I'm your manager, we'll continue to do that. Of course, with the guidance of the Board of Supervisors, should you desire changes or you want to improve the level of service that we are providing, we will take that into account as we begin to develop our budgets year over year. So the budget's new format is consistent with the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code and the DCED Chart of Accounts. Not that the current budget format isn't. The new format is a little cleaner. It creates a level of funds. As you can see, we will now have a total of 11 funds in the township, 8 operating, 3 capital. Of the operating funds, we will still have a general fund, a streetlight fund. We're creating a new community center fund, a solid waste fund, a library fund, a new debt service fund. Liquid fuels always stands alone on itself, as they are restricted funds, and a new operating reserve fund, which at some point in the future, it's going to be my recommendation to this board that we develop a fund reserve policy where excess revenue year over year, that's where it will go. Right now, it kind of lives in fund balance throughout the budget and kind of serves as your backstop for major issues that happen in our community. It also serves as the means by which agencies like S&P develop your credit rating. The township currently has a AA stable rating and has for many, many years. It's not atypical. A lot of the other municipalities in our region in central Pennsylvania share that AA stable rating. Can we improve that? Certainly. That comes with the use of an operating reserve fund and creating a sound fiscal policy of how those funds are set aside in the event there's an emergency. Moving over to the right, you see those are the 3 capital funds that I'm proposing in this new format. A capital reserve fund, which will serve the general needs of the whole township. 31 is the new community center reserve fund. So as we begin to go down the path of constructing a new community center, it's important that we look at it both from an operating standpoint, which is 06, and the capital standpoint, which is now 31. 31 will serve as the holding area for all of the needs of the center, whether it's replacing air handling units, pool needs, all of the capital equipment needs for the center will come out of that fund. The last of the capital funds is 32. This is also new to this township is the road equipment fund. The second class township code under section 3205 outlines all of the areas that you can allocate specific real estate tax millage to. What you'll see as you flip through your documents, the goal will be to reallocate millage, not this fiscal year, but probably 2021. Ideally, reallocating that millage through different funds creates capacity in each of the funds to address the needs of the township. Road equipment is probably one of the most important, in my view, in a lot of the townships that I've worked in the past. We did not have a road equipment fund. We established it. We assigned millage to it. And because of that, we were able to grow that fund and create a means by which we can buy that very expensive equipment without having to tax the general fund or a reserve account or fund balance. So that road equipment fund, in my view, serves as a great place to help townships like Erie get to a point that you can buy all of this expensive equipment in a very reasonable way. This township has already undergone a lot of lease loan programming for a lot of its capital needs, which I'm a proponent of, that allows you to spread that debt out over a number of years in a smaller lease payment. That road equipment fund can serve as a means by which to pay for it. Any questions so far? So the next two slides serve as a summary of both revenue and expenses as they relate to just the general fund. I didn't do this for each and every slide, but I just wanted to give you a flavor for, this is a highlight and summary of what's in your packet right now. So you can look at the broad categories, real estate property taxes, all the way down through fund balance forward. This becomes the basis by which your operating funds and total available funds are made for appropriation. So the big difference in the 2020 budget versus the 2019 budget, if you look at the bottom, the fund balance forward number is fairly significant. That comes into play for two reasons. One, in the 2020 budget, we are moving all of the available real estate tax millage into the general fund for this year. Additionally, when you look at the fund balance forward number year over year, each year, 2019 being the most current example, you estimate, you do your best guesstimating as far as what you think you're going to end the year in terms of total expenses, that impacts that fund balance forward number. So when the 2019 budget was developed based on 2018 actual fund balance forward numbers, that's how that number got into the budget. Similarly, when you look at the 2020 number, it's kind of hidden in that $4 million. It's about, but it's in your packet. When you look at that fund balance forward line at the end of the general fund, you'll see that it's about $3 million. That is a result of the actual audit, the 2018 audit. That number moves forward out of the audit and becomes important as part of this discussion. The other reason that the 2020 fund balance forward number is a little bit higher is because each year over year, and it's a credit to the folks that are sitting behind me, that we don't always spend everything that we say we're going to. You know, the budget serves as a guideline. It serves as a document to measure how you're going to perform year over year. And I would say that we budget revenue very conservatively. And we also develop expenditures based on that conservative revenue projection. As a part of that, these folks here aren't spending everything that's there, and that immediately impacts the fund balance forward number and starts to create the fund balance that I talked about that may make up the seed for the operating reserve down the road. So on the percent change column, you'll see that these numbers are kind of all over the place. Part of that is, as we were developing both revenue and expenditures in a new format, we were combining line items, we're moving things around, so you see a lot of zeros in here. As that next fiscal year comes around, those lines will consolidate, they'll move up, they'll disappear. The chart of accounts will get a lot cleaner. It's an easier and more concise way to view our expenditures year over year and revenues as well. So those percentage change numbers will actually be a little more meaningful next year when we look at this format year over year. So this is trying to take an old format, introduce it to a new format, and try to get some percent change out of it. And it's a little misleading here and there, but for the most part, it gives you a general sense of where we're headed. On the expense side, again, this is a summary of all of the major cost centers within the general fund. As you know, this is the one area of your budget that pays for all of the general operations of this township. It doesn't have anything that's specifically earmarked, for example, like liquid fuels. Those funds can only be used for certain matters, certain paving, certain repairs within the township, and can't be used for any operating at all. So when you go down on the left-hand side, these are all the broad categories that are outlined by the DCED chart of accounts. And within each one of those broad categories are line items that correspond to the numbers that you see there. Because these are the aggregate numbers by department. I'm going to pick on police services just because it's the easiest one that's there. So you can see it pretty easily. 2019, when you look at all the police services numbers, 7.3 million, that's where we're anticipating the year to end. When you look at all the contractual items that we have, that number grows to 7.7 million. That's a result of a couple of things. You look at healthcare increases. The township is not immune to increases for basic electric, light, water, cable, anything that you have in your private life. We're certainly not immune to any of those increases as well. Healthcare We are a part of a cooperative agreement. We are self-funded, but we are part of a local municipal cooperative. That rate has gone up. Last year was 1.9%. This year it's 7.9%. And that is indicative of, one, our use and our use within the co-op, and it's also indicative of the greater healthcare issues as they relate around us with the national healthcare scene. I'll use the word Obamacare. You know, all of those things, Cadillac tax, all of those things are kind of looming out there that we have to be aware of. We have to be sensitive to. It's going to impact our bottom line at some point in the future. But the point I'm trying to drive at is, if you look at the combination of where we are from an expense standpoint, we're making good moves to consolidate where we can within the budget document that you have in front of you. And I think next year when we start to look at the comparison year over year, obviously that change column will look a lot different. Any other questions? I'm kind of going out of the stop for a minute, but if there's questions, you guys have any questions for you? Throw things at me. I know I mentioned personnel kind of at a high level. When you look at total personnel costs for the township, in 2019, we anticipate ending the year total $12,907,960. This upcoming year, 2020, we're at $12,868,809. And part of the decrease is, as we've had people retire, we're not filling positions as immediately as we could. We're moving some workloads around. Again, it's a credit to these folks behind me, willing to step up and take over some things that weren't on their plate previously. So for them, I thank that. Below you see the contractual items. Those are the contractual wage obligations for the township for both the police association and AFSCME. This year is 2.5%, next year is 2.75%, and 21 is 3%. Again, there's our healthcare increase at 7.8%. General liability and the other township insurance lines are about 1.5% in this budget. Now, those numbers are not fixed yet. We are still awaiting final numbers from our carriers. They can't price final numbers until we have a budget. We can't have a budget until we have final numbers. So it's a catch-22. But their best guesstimate is about a 1.5% increase. The big ticket items, these are now moving into 30, which is in your budget. 30 is now the new capital reserve fund. It was previously just your capital projects fund in the former format. What you're seeing here is kind of a summary of what's in your packet, where major costs are for next year. Just want to point out this $1,045,000. That is for the landfill remediation project. Those are all, that and a couple of other projects in here are bond-related projects, so this is not general fund money coming out of it. Specifically, $1,281,640 is coming from the bond that we had already previously approved, and $495,905 of general fund money is transferring in from the general fund into the capital reserve fund for 2020 to address all of these capital needs.
How much, Chris? I'm sorry.
It is $495,905. So to kind of jump around a little bit, one of the important components of the new format of the budget is at the very end of each fund, where you look at where funds are moving. The general fund being the most important, right now, particularly in 2020, this is where all the real estate tax millage is being collected, where all of your major revenue sources are housed. You look at the bottom of that budget, and you can see where monies are beginning to move. It's transferring to different funds. As I stated at the outset, as we go through 2020, I would like to begin evaluating how we can separate the millage and move it into allowable funds to grow that capacity. So, the fund balance that you see at the end of the general fund, it's $4,000,000. It's a little misleading. You know, I don't want to give anybody false hope that that's our, you know, grandiose fund balance. That is just simply because we're now moving all the revenue to the general fund. We're moving some things around, and it's creating a nice fund balance for the township. Next year, as we begin to move out, a proportional amount of those funds will be directed to the appropriate funds to create fund balance nest egg and see to grow those funds.
So tax bills right now, there are two millage rates right now, right?
Yes.
That is general capital. And you're saying that next year there won't be general capital?
Just one number.
Just one number. And then you'll get money to the funds just by transfers?
Internal moves, yes.
Okay.
So,
and that's the intent going forward, is just to have one millage rate?
It is. Because I think, you know, it's confusing to the taxpayer. We have one number, goes on the bill. Internally, we can process that based on what this board or a future board would decide the appropriate millage breakdown should be for the appropriate funds to move it back. So when you look at operating funds, the second class township code allows you to put millage into the general fund, into 06, the community center fund. If you were to enact a library tax, it could go into the library fund. Debt service can also use millage from the tax bill. And over here, the community center reserve fund and the road equipment fund are all eligible to receive millage from real estate taxes to grow on its own and house expenses that are specific to it.
Okay, but not to show up on the tax bill. That's just...
That's right. That would be totally internal.
I got a little confused there at one point. I was understanding that you're going from two buckets now to more buckets in the future.
Yes.
But it will stay with one.
It's going to be one big up to the Chris Christman who's paying the tax bill. It's one bucket that I'm writing a check to Derry Township, and that's where it goes. When it hits our books, you know, we'll do general, you know, the entries to move the money to the appropriate bucket. It's a great way to describe it. It works. It's a methodology that works. It's very clean. The transfers in each of the funds show the movement of money across the budget, so it's not a big shell game, you know. And ideally, you know, and this was a conversation I had with a different board in a different township who didn't necessarily want a solid waste fund, but I argued that, you know, we're in a very litigious environment with DEP as we move forward. There's going to be at some point a reckoning as it comes with MS4s. This township is taking a lot of proactive steps to deal with that with the authority, moving your MS4 compliance with them. However, there's a whole laundry list of things that DEP is going to end up lumping on us, and I have always argued that having a solid waste fund stand on its own, have funding on its own, allows us to demonstrate to them that we're doing exactly what we need to do with the funds that we receive from DEP. A lot of municipalities will take those funds and it gets absorbed into the general fund and it's lost forever. And from an auditing standpoint, there's no way that somebody could look at that and determine that you've received X number of dollars from your 902 or your 904 grants and it's being applied to Y because it gets swallowed up and disappears. You go with this, you use this methodology, it's a way that it demonstrates it's clean, it's clear, auditors like it, and it keeps us in good graces with everyone. So that's kind of a side story.
So the allocation of the millage would change in every budget year?
It potentially could. You know, like when we sit down and as part of an ongoing budget process, you know, the departments are really good at identifying what they need. They look at all of the needs that they have. They compile that, it comes in. It's my job to kind of distill what they're asking for above and beyond what's already in a 5-year capital plan and say yay or nay. We can present that to the board. I always feel it's my obligation as your manager to present a budget that even if it would require a tax increase at some point in the future, I've whittled it down to a point that I can confidently say that we're not asking for something that's over the moon, but we're at a point that we've got to raise taxes or find some alternative source of revenue to make this work.
So even just the way that question, I mean, you said the allocation of the millage can change. Is that really the best way to... Village is the same, it all goes to the general fund, taxes, and all the revenue goes to the general fund, and then you allocate it.
Yeah. Well, the number...
I mean, whether you call it, once you keep calling those allocations millage, I think it gets confusing in my mind. I keep thinking that the millage is going to change on the bill. In other words, that's not going to happen.
No. It's an internal, internal designation by the board.
So once it's internal, I would argue, it doesn't make sense to call village anymore. Then they're
the percentage. So like when you receive the final version of what this is that you have before you, it's going to be a lot more comprehensive. Yeah. It's going to be tabbed by fund, and within each fund you'll have revenue, expenses, and then the line item descriptions that kind of lay out what it is each one of these line items in the budget means. I think there's a lot of confusion on the part of elected officials and municipalities in general because they don't give enough detail in their budget. You know, I think when people come to board meetings and they talk about spending, they're not necessarily looking at the whole picture, or they're only looking at a piece of it. You know, I think when you lay it out in this context, it makes it a lot easier to follow year over year.
I think it gives us greater flexibility too, because any given year we can say, okay, 3 years out, we're going to have this capital spending obligation, and so we need to bump up that percentage of millage coming over to that particular fund.
I'll give you a great example. In a past life, the Park and Rec Fund, which was on its own, it's also an eligible source that you can put real estate tax dollars into, required an increase. You know, the board, that particular board, was not interested in raising the overall millage rate for the township to accommodate that need. So we looked at it internally, and I said I could move some millage out of general fund and reallocate it to Park and Rec. It'll solve our needs for at least 1 year, but it's not something that I would advocate long term.
And it'll enable us to track it more specifically.
Yes.
Which is great.
I think this whole model just seems more clean, more clear, a little bit more strategic, and it aligns really nicely with the planning tools that PFM has given us, so it just seems like they marry up very well together.
Well, the one thing that I didn't touch on at the very beginning, and I apologize, the board did authorize us to move forward with getting new financial software for the township. So when we started talking internally, Cheryl and I and Jenna, we started to figure out, is it worth sticking one more year with the current format, or, you know, knowing where I want it to go, should we pull the trigger and look to redesign the whole budget? Because we're getting in on the ground floor with brand new financial software. The chart of accounts sets the stage for that, and everything that we do as a township is structured off of that chart of accounts. So it makes sense for us to kind of take that step now, 1 year early, even though we're doing it in Excel and it's going to transfer into the new finance software. The benefit of the new software system, and not to digress a little bit more on it, but is that as elected officials, you'll be able to get in and look at revenues and expenses on a daily basis, and you'll see live numbers. And that holds true for our departments. You know, as they're trying to figure out year over year what their needs are, or if they've come up with something, because we're not immune to things breaking. You know, library has some boilers that need to be replaced. We can't not replace boilers, so we have to do that. We have to find money to do that. And so those tools will help us help you make better decisions. So I'm excited for the future of what that is. And I think, you know, this year's budget will set the stage for that.
Chris, I'm stuck on one point, and maybe I'll just address this later, but I'm confused. So the millage, you just gave that example, Parks and Rec, you said you can then move millage over.
So when you,
for the general,
let me go back to your buckets.
Yeah.
So what you'll see in the final budget format in 2021, all of the funds that I pointed out that could legally accept millage as part of the second class township code, if our total mills are two, just say it's two, we have a half a mill in general fund, we have three quarters of a mill in Park and Rec, and we have, you know, the balance in one of these other funds. That will be identified within the budget document. From the taxpayer standpoint, it's one number, it's one bill,
right.
And when it hits us internally, it'll go based on that decision and that budget. In that budget year, the board adopts a budget that shows the monies that are collected from real estate tax dollars will break apart and go into the separate buckets internally.
Here's earmarking it.
Yeah, but so you cannot, it's just money that comes in from real estate tax revenue? What about the money that comes in from earned income tax? What about all the revenue that's in the general fund?
Only real estate tax dollars. The second class code only allows you to allocate.
So you can't move any of those other funds?
We can. No. We can use it through transfers.
Okay.
So Act 511 taxes, which are part of the revenue of the general fund, they can be collected, they come in the door. We can then decide internally, we want to allocate X number of thousands of dollars we're short over in one of these other funds. So we can elect to do an inter-fund transfer from the general fund to whatever, pick one.
Right.
And that's how money's moved. So the main clearinghouse for a lot of revenues in a municipality is your general fund. So you have real estate taxes, Act 511 taxes, fines, liens, rents.
So again, and I want to talk about this offline because I think everybody's time, but I'm not understanding why the revenues that you're moving money from the general fund. Why are you calling the Mellie? Why are you just doing it through transfers? I'm not following that, but there's probably a reason. So maybe we can talk about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on.
Okay, I think so.
The library doesn't have your boilers.
It does. We do. It's on your own. So as I was discussing that with our capital needs, the current capital reserve fund that's in the new format addresses about $1.8 million worth of projects. Everything that's here, and I apologize if I'm reiterating what I said earlier, these are all of the capital items. They include all of the capital items that have already been previously identified by the department heads through PFM, through that model, through that five-year capital plan. It's a continuation of it. I think there might be two projects that weren't included, and they aren't, in my view, not necessary at this moment. However, the majority of the need that we have as departments are met through this budget right here. So, Community Center Reserve Fund, this is one of the new things that we're proposing. You'll see that $122,000 is allocated for appropriation in the 2020 budget. And that's primarily for one reason. As the board knows, we're out for bid right now on a new community center. We're looking at hedging our bets if, for whatever reason, the bids come in over budget again and the board is faced with a difficult decision. We are putting money aside to fix the outdoor pool so that in the 2020 season we can try to open that and have it available. If for whatever reason bids go sideways, decision making goes different, we wanted to anticipate that. So on the reverse or on the flip side of it, if we are to go out and we select someone, a low bidder, we move forward with the project, demolition begins, we'll keep the pool closed for the 2020 season. Any of the funds that we have allocated through this capital, or excuse me, through the Community Center Reserve Fund will just remain there as part of fund balance. They won't be spent unless, of course, the department has a need, but that would come to the board because, you're authorizing that through the budget process. If it's a capital expenditure that's above and beyond what's reasonable in the budget, that comes before you.
Is that reserved for things? Is it theoretical that that's reserved for just things that come up with that center, or that there's something in there so that in 30 or 40 years when the new center is built, there's something building up?
Yes. The whole purpose of, and it gets to your earlier question, the whole purpose of kind of breaking this apart into different funds, over time you build capacity. So I know I mentioned early on that the second class code allows you to put, so I don't want to confuse it anymore, millage into that fund. The beauty of that is as your assessed value as a community continues to grow like this, if you put millage in over here, you are automatically building capacity as time goes on. So in your 30 to 40 year model, if a future board would decide to put millage into that fund, or real estate tax dollars into that fund, you're growing capacity. And yes, it can only be used for the purposes that it's outlined. It would just be for the center. So we're talking anything in that box, in that building envelope, that's the only thing those funds can be used for.
Chris, at any point, could a board determine, okay, we've got too much of this particular fund, we're going to transfer to another fund? Like once you've done that initial transfer, the millage, could you then transfer it between funds if you wanted to?
Yes. As time goes on, this is a fluid process. So the only funds that you really can't touch are ones that have come in a current fiscal year. So if you determine in the case of the community center fund that it has too much money in a given year.
Still put it in the weeds of the next.
The following fiscal year, you can begin to reallocate. But the funds that are already accumulated would be invested, could be used for just those purposes. It's very similar to like liquid fuels. Liquid fuels is very restrictive. So we're using the code, in my view, to our advantage to move funds, grow funds, and then reallocate them for uses that we need. Is that?
Would that, this is probably procedural, but would it have to go back to the general fund and then reallocate out to the other funds?
No, you
would be fund to fund.
When you look at your packets and you start to look at the inter-fund transfers in each one of the accounts, and we may have to clean it up, but really there should be a on the revenue side, on the expense side, to and from,
yeah.
You know, so you'll see it, you'll see the money moving and coming in one side and out the other. So it's very clear on paper that you're making the moves. You can, move the funds around.
I think it's clear that they're just creating trail.
Well, that's very important, because if you put it back into the general fund, right, then you have to try to follow the money out to the other fund.
Just makes it more complicated.
So I know I mentioned earlier, similar to the community center fund, the road equipment fund, we moved this out of the general capital fund. There's $321,772 allocated that's transferring out of the general fund to this fund for next year, and that is to anticipate the purchase lease of the dump trucks that for public works and additional equipment, all of which was identified in the capital plan. So in your previous format, all of this would have been housed in your general fund budget. I'm sorry, in your capital budget. And we're now moving it out to the appropriate centers for the new format. So the last of the points I want to make, this budget does, and I know I mentioned in my notes to you, this does assume a quarter mil tax increase that Board has been talking about over the last couple of years for the sole purpose of creating capacity for debt service to address the construction of the new community center. So what that quarter mil means in terms of real dollars, based on our assessed value in the township for, it was at the end of 18, so it's for the 19 fiscal year, that quarter mil is about $518,000. So that will go into the debt service fund. And I think as you look through that fund, it's fund number 23, as you look at that, it now shows all of the different issuances that the township has been dealing with over the last couple of years, and it anticipates debt service, both principal and interest, to make our obligations whole. It also serves as the conduit for new money as it comes into the township from bond issuances. So you'll see that transfer of funds from the debt service account. There's like a million plus that's coming over to the capital projects fund to address those landfill concerns and any of the other items that the board approved during that bond issuance, which was 2019 Series A, Series B. That's where those money are coming. So lastly, I thought it was kind of interesting to kind of take a look at other municipalities around us and look at their real estate tax rates and how we compare. And if you look at that, for every $100,000 of assessment, it's pretty big. That equate the proposed tax rate of 2.5381 mils would equate to a tax bill of $253.81 for a property assessed at $100,000. You can go down the list and look at all of our neighbors, and it's kind of unfair throwing boroughs in because they're in a different category, but they're nearby, and it's kind of interesting.
I remember when I was doing a little bit of research at the outlying area, do some of those villages include other taxes? Like some of them include a fire tax or a library tax or something? They're specifically allocated.
The communities that are on this schedule right here all account for, this village accounts for a 0.35 mils tax
okay,
for library. So that's inclusive.
It's still the obligation of the taxpayer.
Sure.
Then, you know, we have those other ancillary taxes, like local service tax, and are those reflected in here as well, or?
No, this is strictly.
Straight property, right, yeah. Well, I'm talking comparing us to other, yeah, municipalities.
So with that as a concern, I know I'm not, I'm gonna dump it back on your lap, but it's a lot to digest for everyone who, you know, I've been living with this for 20 years. This is your first blush at it, these folks, you know, I'll do my best to answer questions that I can. They're certainly available to answer questions relative to the departments if you have real nitty-gritty kind of questions about specific line items that they've kind of put together. I'll turn it over to you.
A question about the road equipment fund, is that just for public works, or does that also include police vehicles or fire vehicles?
No, it's solely for public works only. So for us to purchase extra vehicles, whether it's code office, whether it's police department, those are all general fund dollars that are being reallocated to the capital reserve, and that's where the money will come out of to pay for those needs. So road equipment is strictly public works only. You know, by and large, they're the most expensive pieces of equipment that you have in your fleet. They're also the ones that if you don't replace in a timely fashion, you lose the ability for resale. There's a whole laundry list of things. That holds true for any vehicle that we have in the fleet. The liability issues associated with older vehicles, simply to retain them and not buy new, just creates problems from a workers' comp standpoint. You don't want public works getting hurt, guys riding around in trucks with floorboards that are missing. It's not a great place to be. Sorry.
Question. Does this scheme envision any sort of partitioning or line items or funds for the fire department? How's the fire department going to fit with this?
So, to answer the question, it's kind of twofold. A lot of these folks obviously weren't at our meeting the other night with the fire department, but we don't address some of the things that we talked about at that meeting, but we do address the debt service payments for the new ladder truck that's coming online. That's accounted for. And some of the apparatus that we're talking about, this budget reflects that a little bit. But some of the other long-term obligations that they shared with us as far as the building goes, the debt service on that building, no, that's not accounted for here.
And that's not any more of a, I would say long-term, but not an immediate need or partnership.
So we could have future local categories?
Yes.
Is it 3208, is that allowed for?
3205.
3205, sorry.
you're certainly allowed to enact what a lot of municipalities will call a fire tax. And what that does is it allows you, again, use the situation, raise the village to generate enough real estate tax revenue to help offset expenses in a fire fund. So in another one of my lives, I did have a separate fire fund. I didn't call it a fire tax because I collected the real estate tax as a bulk number. Split it apart internally.
Okay. So even with that, you didn't have a separate village on the tax bill?
No.
Okay.
You can. Yeah. And I did.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's a political football.
Yeah.
And it becomes an opportunity for people to be really opportunistic about holding people in your seats kind of hostage. And I always felt that it was better for me to control it on the back end.
Yeah.
And gives us greater control and flexibility on our side of the table.
And future boards and managers, it's just kind of stagnant. You said that, I get that.
I would think too, it would potentially hamper the fire department's ability to raise their own funds if people felt that they were somehow paying tax for a fire department.
Yes.
But the reason I brought that up is because obviously the debt service on the fire department, the building in what was 1.6 million was still open. The current funding will last, I don't know, 2023, right? So that's like 3-4 years.
I thought it's 25.
Is it 25?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Great. But in terms of preparing for that eventuality, hopefully, you know, we'll figure out ways to have revenue come in from that. But whether this budgetary scheme would fit into that. And I seem to recall the fire department a while ago also indicating a schedule of vehicle replacements that are needed and where that would come into, if at all, this budgetary scheme as well.
You know, those needs are not atypical, and they are certainly understandable. They're not any different than Public Works or the Police Department or any of our other departments who are just making requests of major capital needs. You know, eventually that kind of conversation would revolve around, again, what level of participation does the township want to have with the fire department in terms of its overall capital needs.
Right.
You know, and that, like Susan pointed out, that's going to require much larger conversation.
But we'll have flexibility with the system to
yes.
insert that type of
absolutely.
Issue.
Yeah, I mean, moving forward, you know, we can certainly do a couple of things that aren't accommodated here tonight. We can create a fire fund specific for that. We can create a separate park and rec fund if at such a point in time we determine that, you know, we're doing enough that it kind of justifies it, you know. And
right.
again, in one of my other municipalities, it was really important that park and rec be separate because it was one of the things that they touted as a success in their community, so they really wanted that standing out on its own.
I just want to make sure our department is integrated into the big picture here.
Right.
You know, as
you may even have said, but there are many more conversations that have to happen with them to start order discussion before I think
they're right.
Oh, absolutely.
Changing, absolutely. Certainly not next year's budget.
Yes. I just wanted to clarify, did you say we could add those categories now and not fill them?
We certainly could. I mean, we certainly could tonight. I mean, so the purpose of...
Again, or could we do that at any time, say, in a June time period? Say, well, we've had the conversations and we think we should put a fire fund for a fire.
So you're talking like as a placeholder?
Yeah.
And I would advocate that if there's a sincere interest on the part of the board to create a separate fire fund, you make that motion tonight, we can create that as part of this budget.
And just not fill it.
Yeah, because there are several budgets in here that you'll see a lot of zeros in.
Right.
Yeah. So operating reserve is one of them. It's no different for us if we would opt to create a fire fund this evening. Don't kill me.
Is there just to think it through? I mean, is there a disadvantage to doing that? I'm just thinking about getting too much into this conversation. Is
you know,
there's so many discussions that have to happen.
Right.
And does that in any way imply? An obligation or cooperation that we're not looking at on a more global manner?
I think my own personal opinion is that I think we should take the opportunity to maybe not necessarily do it this year.
But maybe next year.
But let's look at it for 21.
Yeah.
Because I would like to have a larger conversation with the fire department.
Yeah.
And
so longer than 5 minutes.
Yes.
And keep in mind, I mean, there's a contribution fire company general support line item.
Yes. So it's like 01411 or something like that.
It's very, very good.
It's scary, actually.
Yeah, well, that's how my
the
problem is that's how my mind works. The first thing I said to Cheryl this afternoon was, you know, Susan sent me a whole list of questions, but there's no line items attached to it, so I have to try to remember where things are.
Oh, I told him about page numbers. Sorry.
So, Chris, just a quick, the way that it's being presented is sort of a very aggregate form. I realize where this is looking at term years, so future years may be a little bit different. But when you mentioned, like, as an example, Parks and Rec, you wanted to say, all right, let's look at the Parks and Rec budget. That's independent. You've got a community center fund. So that, the fund's kind of, in other words, could you, it's,
that's still about
do you see where I'm going
yeah,
with this?
I think I know where you're
because there's a difference between funds and budgets.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So for decision making for the boards, at some point in the future, they might want to see the different departments.
So when you look at this format, it's obviously very different from where you were. The previous format was centered around the idea of looking at it at the budget from a departmental viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So when you flip through your book, you looked at departments. And a lot of the departments will have revenues and expenses that cross varying funds.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that in the book. This approach, which is consistent with the state, is looking at it from a fund.
Yeah.
And it comes down to understanding where in the funds departments are housed. I mean, I know for this particular example, Park and Rec is in O1. So I can go to O1 and I can look at the bottom aggregate number for O1-454 and know that, you know, Park and Rec, that's their number. Mm-hmm. That's inclusive of salary, that's inclusive of small minor capital needs that are being paid out of general fund. It's also inclusive at the bottom of transfer going out to capital projects, so we can look at all of the expenses from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. So, or police, I picked on police because they're easy to see. So they're 01410. If you go to the 410 code in general fund, you're going to see the total police budget.
Yeah.
So year over year, you can look at those to see where there are major swings. And, you know, and I mentioned it, so like in your format, when you look at this last column, this will become more important as years go on, because now you're measuring it against more accurate numbers. So when you, as an elected official, look at this, or a department head, when you look at this, you'll see the pluses and minuses of where the each individual line is going. From a manager's viewpoint, I look at the aggregate numbers. I think they're more important to me, you know, because when I get questioned about overspending, I want to be able to say, well, we're not really overspending when you look at individual lines, because certain times of the year require certain expenditures. So when you look at that month end, it's going to look way out of whack because you just spent 100% of your funds. I'll use ammunition, it's always a good one. You know, you can spend 100% of your ammunition budget in January, but you may not actually receive the item until June or July. And that expense then comes out in July. The board says, well, what are you doing? You know, we have so much money allocated for ammunition, but it's not coming out until July. But it's the timing of the expense that sometimes skews the view of the number month in and month out.
I definitely commend you and all the department heads. I mean, this is really a very thoughtful budget, and it shows that there's a lot of careful spending and spending that's necessary for the township. And I think this format really makes it even more clear to all of us how well this has been thought out. So I appreciate everybody's time they put into this. And know that everything that's in this budget is something we you all need in your departments. I did want to make sure we all had an opportunity to talk to the department heads to ask specific questions. And I'm going to start with the person whose budget is probably the most complicated, and that's Matt. just because there's so many things in flux, and I appreciate the flexibility and showing different scenarios depending on how we move forward. I know one thing that residents have asked about over at least the last year that I can recall, probably even earlier, was the ability to that before and after school program, and I kind of wondered where that was, and it's probably in here, but if you could kind of call that out a little bit and talk about what the plans may or may not be for that 2020.
It is, and you're right, we've kind of been progressing through all the licensing and square footage requirements to run that program. So within the 2020 general operating budget on the child care, it does budget for the expanded program. We're about two staff members away right now to be able to open in January of this year. So that is our goal, is to be able to expand that fully within the 2020 budget. And other than that, in terms of the departmental budget, you're right, this is extremely unique this year. As Chris pointed out, we did allocate some funds in the event that something may happen with bids, which we don't anticipate, but we just want to be in a position to give the board an opportunity to have a conversation about operating the community pool next summer. So those, not only capital funds for repair of the outdoor pool and the infrastructure of the center to get it up and running, but also the staff and everything else operational that comes along with that, is accounted for in there, and you know, the goal is to not have to use that, and they can remain in the reserve.
I have a healthcare question. I'm not sure if you want to tackle this, or Chris, or both of you, but obviously that's always difficult to nail down, as you said, since you don't have incentivizing employees to be healthier, or making sure they're aware of options like using urgent care versus emergency room, and are there programs in place to try to keep our self-insured numbers down even more?
I guess we can have a tag team on it, but one of the main benefits of being part of the co-op is that you're spreading some of the cost across the membership. So we're able to realize that a portion of those mitigation factors across the trust. And so we're seeing about 7.8% increase. There's others that are higher than us. There are others that are lower than us. But the average increase in the PIMIC group is about 6%. So we're slightly above that. And again, I mentioned it early on, it is partly because of utilization. And it is something that, you know, Dairy Township's not immune to. We're struggling with it. They do incentivize employees to go out and do certain things. We do share wellness initiatives. We have a gym in this facility that I think is pretty unique. Healthier. They do provide grants so that we can go and exercise and, you know, buy some equipment through their safety grant program. So they do incentivize us to try to live healthier. Again, it's the roll of the dice. You know, you really have no control over employees or families. You know, things happen. But I think overall, I think it's been a really good effort on the part of the township to be part of the co-op, rather than going out alone. I know, again, it's past experiences, prior to being in PIMIC, and I was in both PIMIC and I was in the Delaware Valley Insurance Trust. Both are very similar models to one another. I was also self-insured only with Capital Blue, and, you know, we had a year where there was a 30% increase. I mean, that's crazy, but that's standard. That at the time, that was standard across the board, you know, in the United States, so it was not atypical. The government's not immune to it.
We also, with the last contracts that were negotiated, in an attempt to stop people, not stop, but deter them from using the emergency room for non-emergency purposes, we increased the copay for the emergency room. We also did that with the urgent care, because those tend to increase the cost of claim. So little things like that, we looked at upping the deductible. The premiums that we collect from the employees, that percentage has gone up with the last contract. So there are ways that we're looking to cut our costs by encouraging our employees to go to the doctor or stay with, you know, unless it's necessary for the emergency room. So things like that.
I don't know if this, I don't want to be on a big healthcare tangent for too long, but I don't know if this is even allowable under having for municipalities, but are employees able to participate in that might be a qualified high deductible plan that would come with
HSA? That would involve us having to plan redesign, and then that would have to be negotiated as part of the contracts to go to a high deductible plan. Not, there are some municipalities that choose to do that.
Maybe take a look at it as an option, not as a mandatory thing, but especially for people who are tend to be healthier and younger, it's a great option because your deductible is really high, and then your employer helps to offset that with monies in your healthcare spending account, which if you're under 65 can help fund other medical expenses, and if you're over 65, just go out and have dinner with the money. So you can't use it on healthcare, but anyway, it might be an interesting thing to look into and try to keep healthcare costs down.
Said, but this is my opportunity to plug them again. You are, I'm the new face here still, and you are truly blessed to have staff that does care. they are good stewards of the township's money. I know we get beat up a lot, you know, at meetings, as you do too. But I want to thank them for their hard work and effort, and not a day goes by that these folks aren't really doing a lot of effort on the part of this township. And you know, I'm grateful to work with them, and I support everything that they do.
Chris, is the next format going to then, are we going to hear from the additional departments?
Unless, of course, you know, they have anything that they want to add, in addition to what I've kind of talked about as an overview.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here that is new or different from what you've received in the past, other than the capital is changing from year to year. But it's still consistent with that 5-year plan. It's really an opportunity for, and any question, please, you know, take the opportunity to ask them, please.
And then I just wanted to make sure that, or find out whether any of the department heads' 2020 budgets are missing information that are in the 5-year capital plan. So I want to make sure that the numbers we're looking at here anticipate and reflect anything in the 5-year capital plan.
I would say, and I'll let them talk if they have anything to add. There were two projects that kind of missed the cut, mm-hmm. kind of unintentionally, but they weren't, in my view, necessary to be put at the last minute. Everything that's in this budget is reflective of what's in the previously discussed and approved capital plan that PFM did some modeling
right.
on over the years. All of those items are there. These guys are keeping, you know, hard tabs on what's needed. Again, we have things that creep up time to time. Like our front doors here are being repaired and
sure.
sort of replaced. We have a boiler that's out of the library. And, you know, those are unforeseen things that we have to take care of.
Well, what I like about this approach is, and what I think we didn't do as well as we could have in previous years, is we don't want to, 3 years from now, wake up and say, oh, gee, we need to buy a truck this year. You know, and this separation of funds will enable us to be forward-looking, I'm hoping, in terms of funding, pre-funding anticipated needs, especially when we incorporate the 5-year capital plan into that. We're anticipating needs down the road and doing something about it in terms of hopefully being able to allocate money into those so that when we do wake up in 3 years from now and need a truck, we have plans for that.
And I think, you know, there always has been, at least, you know, since we've all been here and probably way before, there always has been a capital plan. But I think what's nice now is that in the format it's in and working with PFM and this new model and all of their hard work, all the dots are connected. And I think it's a lot easier to forecast what's coming up. So
right.
I think that information is probably already always there.
Yeah.
This is going back to that fire thing that we talked about before. they're going to need to cover their bond in 2025, as we just said. We've got the schedule for their trucks, which could be spurred.
It's loosey-goosey.
Yeah, but they're going to need a new truck here soon.
Yeah, I mean...
These are the complaints we got. Community center, why didn't you put money away?
Exactly. I mean, I'm kind of mind that...
I can go either way.
Yes.
Well, if we're not going to fund it, let's just wait till we have, I think we have more global conversation about it. I'm not opposed, so I think it's a great idea, but I think let's just have a bigger conversation before we...
You're...
For the fun of it there or not.
But now's the time to do it, but...
How many years is that lease payment on?
Susan still has...
Six.
How many years is the lease payment? Is it 6 years?
It's 6 years. Where's the other paper? Is that the one with the trucks on?
It's underneath there.
Yeah.
Usually, banks won't guarantee a lease longer than 7 years, so they're usually, they fall between 5 and 7.
I kind of like the idea of having a line, even if we're not going to fill it, it's there, it's fresh in our minds. Not that we're going to forget about it, but...
But it'll be there every year we get a lease.
Right, exactly.
We'll say, oh, we have $1 million in there.
Or there's nothing in there.
Or there's nothing in there, yeah.
And those funds, just to be clear, can be used to pay down debt service as well as capital expenditures, or are there restrictions on how those monies can be used?
I think what I would recommend is utilizing, if the township is going to assume some long-term bond debt for the fire department or in that way, it should be very similar to what we do with ICDA. Those funds would be in our debt service fund. We could collect revenue through fire fund and then transfer that to debt service to help offset those payments.
Yeah.
So, in my mind, that's all I can see.
A follow-up question. Say we were to do this. Does this open us up to having more influence with the fire department?
This is why I really think we should just wait and have...
I know,
much,
I well,
really,
yeah.
Because this is a much bigger
conversation. I'm just talking budgetary right now. And Susan, you brought up the point. I mean, my sincere hope is that the capital fundraising project will completely negate our need to, you know, deal with that over time. And we don't want to have a chilling effect on that by creating a line.
Yeah, I just think there's so many things to talk about with them that I would prefer. I mean, I'm not going to, if all of you really want to do it, I'm not going to say no, it's a bad idea. But I think there's nothing really to gain from doing it tonight. And I just prefer that we have more...
I wasn't saying we should absolutely do that. No, it was just kind of a follow-up question to, well, if we're going to start paying for some of your equipment, does that allow us to have a greater influence than we do now? Or are they going to be less...
That's a whole different...
I know, but it's a legitimate follow-up. I'm indifferent either way.
I mean, it's not like we're going to forget about it in 2021.
I think
so.
If you would ask, you know, my opinion on it, I think let's take this year to evaluate some things.
Let's do it right instead of rushing into it there. I did want to mention something that's really minor, but I just wanted to get out there. I know we've all discussed the want to make this room more user-friendly for meetings so that the public in particular has a better experience. I mean, this is okay tonight because there are two members of the public here, but when this room is full and there are things on the screen, it's hard to see, it's hard to hear. And that doesn't mean this would be a large investment potentially, but I would like us to try to at least look at making some modifications, whether it's seat rearrangement or additional monitor or something. And I know that's not in here, but I know we talked about that, as well as the ability to project something on the wall in the room back there so that we're not burning through paper and we can actually have a better view.
Cheryl and I had that conversation this afternoon. This budget does account for monitors in that back room, and I believe upstairs in the manager's conference room. But as far as this room goes, we did not anticipate anything yet. I would like the opportunity to really sit with Brian and kind of talk through, from an IT perspective, what we need. And you know, there are other, you know, we can bring people in to kind of give us ideas.
Sure.
And I would rather present those to the board.
And there may be some low-cost 2020 tweak that we can do, and then make plans for 2021 to do something that's maybe a little bit better. But just let's try to improve the process. experience a little different.
And if putting up a screen on that side and a projector that goes both ways doesn't, yeah, I think you're right.
Well, it's like our church basement. I mean, if you just have the two screens and all of a sudden everybody can kind of see, so yeah. Maybe we could put out the manager's office and put one down here, so.
Just drop it straight down.
Make sure that it wasn't forgotten, because we've been talking.
And Chris, before we adjourn, also, I think at some point in the near future, I'd like to have the fire department come in, give another presentation as to what its expectations are in terms of equipment needs in the future.
I think they said they were going to do that. Dave's going to have new numbers for the next meeting, this thing is going to close out.
Yeah, I think that'll be very helpful, so that we know also, you know, the building departments and everything. But I think that'll be helpful, especially around this budget time, so.
That's fair, thank you.
Anybody else have anything? I want to make sure that if Linda or Ms. Trout, you have anything you'd like to comment on, sort of want to make sure to afford you time to do that. Do either of you have anything?
My comment's mainly for the staff here. When you go and meet with other counterparts, you're not going to have a common reference using the common chart of accounts that is used in most municipalities across the state. And I know it's painful. I used to implement accounting software, and I did it in several enterprise funds for governments, and they went kicking and screaming, but in a few months they went, this is better. So hang in there.
Linda, just so we have your, I think we should all know your address by now, but please just state it so we have it on the record.
2321 Rattle Road. And all I can say is I'm really glad to see this approach. It's Waterford.
Well, it was nice to look out and see you smiling, so that's good.
Yes, two things.
Yes, made us feel good. Anything, sir? You good? All right.
Looks good.
Pardon?
Looks good.
Okay, all right, well, that's it then. If nobody else has anything to share this evening, we will just adjourn this meeting. Wait.
I do need a motion.
Oh, that's right.
Details here.
Yeah, details.
So, I mean, if the board is amenable, you know, this evening would ask that you authorize the advertisement of the proposed 2020 budget for Gary Township as incorporated this evening.
Moved by Mr. Engel, seconded by Mr. Samuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Carries. Now, Mr. Chair, have a great evening.
Thank you.